thing we say is to say yes. But while you're at this church, the last thing that we say is that I may not know three things. Come on, talk to your neighbor. I may not know two things, but one thing I know. I know he's all right.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
Oh, he's a wonder in my
soul. I feel that, y'all.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio.
I'm thirsty.
This is KAYT. Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, Mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Is your all on the altar?
Yeah, yeah.
Of sacrifice.
Can only be blessed.
come on, give the Lord a hand of praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We are grateful to God once again for another day's journey. Anybody glad about it? Woke us up this morning, started us on our way, and we're just glad about it. Amen, amen, amen. Well, gracious God, our Father, do as only you can do in this hour. Minister to us, use us for your glory. And we pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit will meet us and walk through your word and deal with us right where we are. Then lift us to the place you'd have us to be. And God, would be ever so careful to give you all praise, glory, and honor. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. The people of God said, amen. Amen. Turn your Bibles today to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. And it simply says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. You may be seated. I want to talk about observations of God's creation. Observations of God's creation. I think it important to say to us as we read the Word of God that we understand God is a structured God.
Yes,
he is a God who believes in, leads by, demonstrates divine order. That everything has a place and a purpose, and that as we understand the mind of God from the very beginning of time, as recorded in these pages of Holy Writ, that we'll understand how God operates in this world and how he expects us to operate in this world. One of the points that I think is most important is the first point that verse 1 really lends much inspiration to, and that is the point of visualization. Visualization. And visualization is so important because everything that we operate in by faith must be able to fit within the framework of visualization. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So that means you're going to have some visualization before it's ever materialized or realized in our world. Let me just, because I want to deal with verse 1 for a little while, I want to just walk through the other four verses up to verse 5 and just kind of tell you what's in there, and I'll spend as much time as the Holy Ghost wants me to spend in each verse because there is too much here for us to be able to deal with all in one service. So I'll have to come back and deal with all of this anyway. So I just want to just let you know what's in verse 2 through 5. Verse 1 is visualization, but verse 2 is actualization, because it talks about the actual factual situation. When it says, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So here's what you discover about verse 2. You see what God actually had to work with. And it's important that you understand verse 2, because verse 2 is helpful many times in understanding the power of verse 1. See, sometimes you got to realize that what you're looking for isn't in verse 2. It's not actually there. It's not yet been discovered. It's not a reality that you can pull from, because the word says the world, the earth, was without form and void. So it had no shape to it, and it was empty. And then it was filled with darkness. And when you begin to realize that God didn't have much to work with at all, it says and suggests to us that our faith and our visualization should not be limited to the little bit we got to work with. Sometimes your situation won't give you much to work with, but you've got to see beyond what you see and be able to think those things that work in the framework of your mind. And again, through faith, develop them so much so that you can call those things into order. Verse 3 talks about verbalization. Because the Bible says, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Now, verbalization is so important, but I like the way the New English Translation says. It says, and God summons the light. Now, here's what's important about this word summons. If you summons something, that means it's in existence, but not in the place that you're calling it to. So since the earth was without form and void and filled with darkness, where did God summons light from? I'll tell you about it in verse 1, because that's where it came from. In his mind. Sometimes, my brothers and sisters, you're going to have to realize that if you want to summons something into this world that does not presently exist in your world, you've got to summons it by faith from your own mind. From what you have visualized, from what you have seen. Listen, it's there, but it's here in your mind. But you need it in the world, materialized, realized. So that means you've got to summons it from where you thought it up, from where you conceptualized it. And then you've got to manifest it till it is realized. Verse 4 deals with realization. Because after he spoke it, and I got news for you, you can think it all day long, but until you open your mouth and say it, it does not have the authority to leave your mind and enter into this world. You have to speak it with faith and authority. You've got to summons it from your mind to reality. You have to be so sure that this thing exists, and because it exists in your mind, you are now releasing it and authorizing it to leave from your mind and materialize in this world. See, that's what real faith is. That's what faith is. That's what God has done in these verses. It's important to realize that that is how God operates and creates everything that was created, that will be created, because there are some things that God has created in his mind that is in dispensational time. Some things have not yet materialized or manifested itself that's already been created. But it's on a time schedule. And it's going to show up when God gets ready for it to show up. And then verse 5 talks about organization. Because God said, let the light be called day and the darkness be called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Now listen at this. God took the whole day and made everything he wanted on the first day. Ended up at the evening time, started there and backtracked to the morning time and called that the first day. He divided because he wanted things organized that one day into half, night and day. 12 hours in the night, 12 hours in the day. Each one shared a perfect half because he's organized. God wants us to understand that you can have stuff, but if you don't have it organized, it cannot function and flow where the greatest benefit comes forth. How many times in our own lives with our own things, we've got things that will better our lives, help our lives, but because they are disorganized, how many times have you bought the same thing over and over again because you couldn't find what you had because it wasn't organized? You bought the same thing, the same color, the same size. You had it already, but because you couldn't see it because it wasn't organized. See, you got to learn to put your stuff up where you can see it in order. You won't have to keep buying stuff you already got. You'll be able to use a whole lot more when you bring in the things that you've got if you just organize your stuff. Am I talking to anybody in the house? I hear you laughing, but God shows us from the first day of creation, you've got to organize your stuff. God says, let all things be done decently and in order. In order.
Yeah.
In order. And so if we would learn that, my brothers and sisters, we would be the better in our everyday lives. Now, organization in verse 5, realization in verse 4, verbalization in verse 3, actualization in verse 2. Now let's go back up to visualization in verse 1. Because one of the things that I think is important for you to understand, my brothers and sisters, about observing the creation of God is God shows us through his word, through his actions, how we are to mimic him. He shows us what he wants us to do. He shows us what is right to do. He gives us by way of an example how we ought to operate. Now let's look at visualization. One of the things that's so important about being able to create, and that's important in terms of things of faith, because while everything you have need of is available through faith, it is not yet manifested in your world. But the fact that God gives you a mind to think, you can begin to see that thing in your own mind, and you can begin to think it so that it becomes fashioned, designed, developed in your own mind, that you're able to put all of the pieces together until it becomes a reality.
Yes.
You see, your faith is what gives you the ability to see beyond what is. Don't ever limit yourself to what is only. Verse 2 was all there was. That was the fact of what God had to work with. But here's an example I want you to understand. Though God was clear about the facts, he was not controlled by the facts. Now that's so important, because I need you to understand, your facts may say one thing, but faith says another thing. You've got to understand that facts speak simply of what is, the actualization of what is. So you're not denying that the fact is a fact, but you're saying that you will not be controlled by the facts, that your faith can surpass, go beyond, do more than the facts. And see, that's when you begin to walk into that faith arena, and that's where you begin to see and become unbound. You'll be able to know that God gives you the ability to rise higher than facts, higher than your situation, higher than the actualization of the thing that you're dealing with, because of your ability to see it in the spirit realm. Yes, see, one of the things that people who don't use their minds, well, here's what the Bible says, where there is no vision, the people perish, whether we're talking about a country, whether we're talking about a citizen of a country, whether we're talking about a corporation or what have you, anything without a vision, as human beings, individuals, if there is no vision for your life, then you cannot expect God to give you all that you could have in this life, because he gave you a mind to think. He gave you the ability to create. He gave you the ability to operate in the spiritual and in the faith realities, just like you walk and work and live in the natural realities. You are not just in this world to operate in this world singularly. You have the ability to operate in spiritual things. And that's what's so important. We have the ability to rise above the natural when we operate in the spirit. The problem with the spirit is you many times have spiritual vision, but you are blinded because all you use is your physical visibility. And so, because many of us only use what we see in our natural eyes, we don't operate in the spiritual reality and the visualization God gives us. Do you know you can see so much further in the spirit than you can in the natural? Do you can see through time, you can see through ages, you can see through the impossibilities, you can see through darkness, all of that in the spirit realm, where you can't do that always in the natural realm. That's right. That's right. So now, what's the importance of visualization? Everything that you believe God for, you've got to be able to see it in your mind. If you're going to operate by faith, you've got to know that it has to happen here in your mind, in the spirit, before it becomes a reality in the world. If it's faith, that means you don't see it with these natural eyes. You got to see it with your spiritual eyes. You've got to believe God with the spirit of faith. You've got to believe God that this thing is going to happen not because of the natural, but because of the supernatural. And so when you see this thing, you will know, listen, what you have asked God for, because you know what it looks like. How do I know what I've asked God for? Because I know what I've seen in my spirit's eye. I know what it looks like because I know what I've shown God I want by way of my vision. Yeah. Yeah. Now again, this word create includes the word design, includes the word fashion and mold and shape and all of these things. This is what you have to do with your vision. Yes, sir. With your ability to see and to create things that aren't there. Whatever you want to be, you've got to see it. Do you think anybody who's worth their salt just woke up one morning and fell into the position they're in? Or they had to see it, say it, and work toward it? They had to do something before that became a reality. Anybody who has anything will tell you they dreamt about that. They had a vision about that. They knew when they got that thing that that was their dream because they dreamed about that. That was their vision come true because they saw that thing. They saw it in their minds. They put that before their natural eye once they got it together in their spiritual eye. They said, this is my dream house. They put a picture up of what the dream house looked like if they couldn't draw one. And if they couldn't draw it, they got one close enough to it. Said, this is what my dream house is going to look like. This is what my dream car. No, I know I'm riding in a little something, something right now, but that's just to get me to, I get to what I want. If you ask most folk, what is their dream, this, that, and the other, they couldn't tell you because they don't dream. They don't even have a vision of what they want. They don't even have a vision of where they're going to be 5 years, 10 years, 20 years from now. They don't have a vision of what life's going to be at the end of this life for them. They don't have a vision of retirement. So they work until they retire. I believe the other person on the side of you got that. Listen, you got to have a vision of retirement long before you retire. You got to say, I want to work until I'm such and such an age, but I know in order to do that, I've got to make preparations, put some stuff aside. I've got to go into my future and bankroll some stuff for the way I want to live. I can't wait and depend on Social Security and Medicaid and Medicare and all of that. I've got to make some provisions because this is how I want to live. I want to travel, see the world, do this, do that, do the other. And if you never have a vision of retirement, you usually work till you retire. And then you're stuck with whatever you got. You have got to see you in what you want. Hear me well. If you whatever it is you want, do you know why so many folk get hoodwinked with so much in life? It's because they never had a vision of what they wanted. They just accepted what came. They accepted what came because they had no vision. They never said, I want this in the person. They never said, I want this out of a career. They never said, I want this as a life achievement. They never said any of those things because they never saw themselves. And so as a result of that, they were never able to put those things in the right place to create them for themselves. There are three things I'm going to say about this and I'm going to let you go. One, vision is the ability to design or to fashion like God did in his mind what he wanted. Now listen, his design was inclusive, listen at this well, of purpose. Yes. Everything that God designed, fashioned, had a purpose.
That's right.
Everything God designed and fashioned had a purpose. Nothing that God made had no purpose. Everything had